Welcome to the table for the Friday, September 27, 2024 installment of Market Plus. Dan Huber is with us. Dan, one thing that was on my mind that I didn't ask,
okay,
that I picked up on your writings this week.
Mm-hmm.
I get the sense you think on corn, wheat, soybeans, now's a good time. It might not be this high real soon. You think we've run out of gas on a lot of these rallies?
Oh, I think this initial rally is running on fumes at this point. You know, it's had several, you know, some short coverings, some weather concerns. I mean, all the good elements to get things moving. But you know, in reality, we have a harvest in front of us. You know, there's going to be some hedge activity that's going to start to limit things. And yes, I mean, first rallies always fail. I mean, it's a rarity, particularly in commodities. I mean, commodities, when you bottom out, it fits and starts. We bounce around for a while. And yes, I think we transitioned away. We probably have a low, but boy, do you think we're going to really move away from here rapidly is probably not realistic.
It's also the end of September, isn't it? Kind of, do you buy the whole end of September crop insurance? Setting a price. Conspiracy.
It depends on the year, I guess. You know,
okay. So
if it's against me, it's a conspiracy.
So, okay, so, got it.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at some questions that came in.
All right.
We appreciate every one of those that make it into our either on X or on Facebook. We ask them every week. All right, let's start with Matt in Iowa. How will the dryness to end the growing season and the ongoing drought in South America affect the markets going forward?
Well, the dryness we're looking at through most of the Midwest here right now is probably going to move harvest ahead at a pretty rapid pace, which, you know, I would think that would tend to be more of an influence on basis, you know, more negative basis numbers if we can't handle the crop. Looking down the road, if this dryness continues in South America, you know, absolutely, I think it could be a real stimulus. It gets the bean market moving to the upside later, once we kind of get past our harvest glut spot here. But, you know, the late season dryness, there's probably a possibility that hurt bean yields, but I think it's too early to really tell at this point in time. So
I had a viewer message me today. We were going back and forth about, I was asking how harvest was going. He says, it's fast, it's good, you know,
right.
Not as good as we thought.
Sure.
But what he's like, he said, we're in year six of dry conditions, of strong dry weather.
Sure.
For where he lives.
Right, right.
You said a two-year cycle low on corn. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're at some long cycles right now.
Correct.
We've also had some pretty good prices sprinkled in throughout that.
Oh, well, there's always been opportunities throughout those periods, certainly.
What's an opportunity moving forward with soybeans?
Well, you know, and again, like I say, I think this first run up is probably probably exhausting itself. But I you know, almost all moves, again, as we just stated, they don't happen instantaneously, but they'll unfold in two or three different swings higher. I think once we back off from this first one, your next move up ideally will carry beans probably closer to the 1050, 1075 range, and then maybe even a third move up higher than that. But I mean, again, I think fits and starts here between now and first of the year. So it's at January 1, could we be looking at higher prices than today? I think a pretty good probability of that. You know, and of course, that's really when you're starting to enter the end of the growing season in South America. So we'll know if there's really some significant, have been some significant problems down there or not. So, but yeah, I think you just, every time you get a 10 to 15% rally, you probably want to run and reward it, so.
You might answer this question, I think, similar. You may have just kind of given your answer away. Matt in Wisconsin wants to know, how much 24 corn and beans should we be selling here? We'll ask that question first, and then 25 when you get done.
Sure. Here again, I mean, part of that's going to hinge on what you've got sold already coming into this. But you know, one, of course, you immediately have to take care of cash flow needs. If you have something that has to be met between now and the end of the year, you know, get a little bit more aggressive on the rallies. You know, good rule of thumb, if you're not 50% sold by the end of the first quarter, you're probably well behind the eight ball. So it. But yes, I think it's, you know, again, once we finish this swing, the next rally up, certainly you want to be probably at least 30% sold, if not a little bit higher here by the end of the year.
What about on 25 then?
You know, 25, I'm not overly anxious. If I'm going to stake with the track that I think we have a major low in here, which I think we do, you let the market come to you at this point in time. I think you can probably not get overly aggressive, at least until we start getting out in that February-March period when you start to talk about acreage again. We have, again, a little better handle on South American crops. then it's time to make moves. So
we do have a report on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
There's always guesses.
Sure.
But this one has potential to always be a market mover, right?
Well, stocks reports are, that's really going to make some adjustments on our carry-in figures. I mean, that's really where that one, and it's a double check on what we had for usage, particularly in the livestock sector over the last quarter. I don't think because of everything else happening at this time of the year that it's going to be, unless there's a real shocker, that it was going to be much of a mover. But you don't tend to get major shocks on grain stocks reports. So,
but we've seen movements, I won't say stair steps, but we've seen cuts and nibbles and tweaks all the time.
Right, right.
Do you anticipate some of those
tops
coming off?
They're looking at, and I think one of the trade estimates is it will take corn production, last year's corn production, down a few million bushels. If you have more than a few million bushels adjustments one way or the other, I would be pretty surprised. So.
And questioning their accounting?
No, true. Right. But, you've got to make adjustments here and there.
That's all right. All right, let's, we've talked a little bit about this, but Matt has a question about size of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one in the camp that our yields are very close to last year's and the 180-plus corn and the 53-plus soybeans just isn't realistic because of those last 60 days of weather that we've had? So what if you are in Matt's situation and it's not quite what you thought it was going to be?
The what do you do as a seller? Granted, you have to keep in consideration that if you're an isolated case, if you think everybody's going to be that way, I guess you can hang on to your beliefs and stick it out that way. I don't think you want to necessarily count on that. Some of the yields I've been hearing out of Northern Illinois, which really suffered that same dry conditions in later part of the year. Beans, pretty average, 60 to 70 bushel range, but I've been hearing about a lot of 250 bushel corn coming out of the field. So, certainly nothing to be ashamed of, a little stronger than last year. So I would tend to kind of put my own yields aside and, just market with what the market tells you to do. So good yield, bad yield, markets, it doesn't really necessarily reflect what's happening on your farm.
And it's always, it's like in the middle of June or May, nothing's planted around me. We all deal with backyarditis is one term I use.
Okay.
All right, let's talk conversely about moisture.
Sure.
Bradley in Nebraska wants to know, is potential hurricane damage to corn, bean, and cotton crops already factored in?
I don't know if I would go as far as to say it's totally factored in because we don't know what the damages are at this point. Yeah, that probably put a little risk element into the markets as they anticipated that this week. Some of the southern states, that's where you've seen the majority of your progress already. So they've got a bit of a head start before this really came in. But I think we got to look at the next week before they make any determinations on really how much damage happened into the Carolinas, Georgia, and that area. So
and we need to see some moisture make it to the Ohio Valley.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that has been ridiculously dry there in southern Ohio up to Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
but also for the fact that it needs to fill back into the river, the Mississippi River. What about the basis? Does the basis ever have any type of reaction to where a hurricane like this one goes?
Oh, boy. I mean, it would really have to cut to the west to make much of an impact. Yeah, I mean, the Ohio Valley is going to be the most logical one at this point in time. But, boy, I don't know if the rainfall is going to be that significant that far north to really help out the river levels that much.
Okay, so. Fair enough. Let's talk the dollar before we leave.
Sure.
That is something that is always a back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Would we close at the dollar? I should look this
up. Just a bit over par.
Just a bit over there.
Yeah, I really think that could be one of the sleepers with markets as we move out into this next year. And you look over the last 2 years as we've been in a down market, it's not that the dollar has been charging higher that entire time, but it's been at elevated levels. I mean, when we get to this par area, we seem to find support and rally back away from there. And I think we're really kind of sitting on the cusp of seeing it teeter over that edge. And once it does, I mean, I think we are probably down for months. I can't necessarily say how cheap, maybe back to where we were 2016, 2015 in that neck of the woods. But I think that psychologically, at least, would become one of those supportive factors we need to sustain rallies in the corn, soybean markets, and wheat markets moving forward.
Interesting. Yep. The sleeper. I may have sleeper. To put that in the Twitter.
All right.
How about that? All right, Dan, good to see you.
Likewise, thank you.
Thank you so much for the time.
All right, my pleasure to be here.
All right, Dan Huber, everyone. And next week, we are going to have another influential government report. It arrives right in the middle of harvest. We'll ask the farmer, Matt Bennett, and Ted Seifried. He'll discuss, along with Matt, the impact that that report had on the commodity markets and what's going ahead. We'll also have some updates, and we also have more behind-the-scenes information that's available each and every Monday in our Market Insider newsletter. Make sure you subscribe on our website to stay in the loop. Thank you for joining us, and have a great week.